So good to see all of you here. Welcome online. Good news. Are you looking for some good news today? Are you? Sure, we all are, right? Here's some. Our building project that was projected at $1.2 million pre-pandemic. Now remember, that was before a 6% inflation rate. That was before skyrocketing building materials costs. So a $1.2 million project has been redesigned with some practical changes. We have some generous local commitments, and it's now projected to be, are you ready? It's now projected to be $250,000. What, right? $250,000? Now, that seems like almost a miracle, and I stole Matt Hansen's thunder for the meeting. But it's amazing what God is up to. And that's good news, right? So I want you to stick around after service. You'll hear more about it in our congregational meeting. So are you looking for some good news? In the season when the church is trying to navigate all the changes that we're going through, last week we experienced some really good news right here in this sanctuary as our confirmation students shared their statements of faith. The house was packed, over 200 people in person, actually way over, and that doesn't include the people online. It was an amazing day, but the really good news was what they shared, that this next generation is committing with holy intentions to be the church in the generations to come. That is good news, isn't it? Are you looking for some good news? So for our farming community today, here's some good news. No rain in the forecast for 3 days. Amazing, right? And it's going to warm up. I'm already feeling better just thinking about it. That's good news, isn't it? We all want to hear good news. And we like it even better when we personally experience it, right? Good news. So I found some that sure looks pretty good to me since the end of October is a big candy day, right? So here it is. Do you like candy? Here's some good news. A study finds that candy eating really isn't as bad as we've heard. That's good news. The report concludes that the frequency of candy consumption was not associated with the risk of obesity, elevated waist circumference, elevated skin fold thickness, I like that one, right? Blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, insulin resistance, none of that. It's all good, according to this study. So that's like, woo-hoo, right? We're going to be able to eat candy. Increased frequency of candy consumption was associated, however, and I've heard this before, was associated with higher energy, right? Higher energy intakes of carbohydrates, total sugars, added sugars, translated. It gives us energy. So that's good news. Practically good anyway. Now, kids, before you go home and tell your parents, Pastor Tim said that candy is good for me. We ought to know who funded this study. It was the National Confectioners Association. In other words, the candy man can, right? Yeah, candy man. So we all want to hear a little good news. We all want good news. Because the truth is, good news brightens our outlook. You know, it heightens our sense of hope for the future. Good news. Good news uplifts our relationships. We really do feel better when we hear good news. So what if I told you that you can have the experience of good news every day? Every day. And no matter what your circumstances are, even if you hear disappointing bad news, what if I told you that you could always have better news that would overcome all of it? So if you're looking for this, and I think the whole world is looking for good news like this, then you're ready to hear the good news. And it's all the heart of the Gospel of Mark. In fact, Jesus begins his ministry saying this, "The time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." The good news. Say that with me. The good news. Believe the good news. So the good news about Jesus is told by the gospel writer Mark. And it is so simple that even a kid can understand it. That, you know, everybody can understand it. However, one scholar puts it like this. He says, it's like a pool of pure water. It's far deeper than it looks. You know, Cheryl and I were on vacation in Michigan, and we stopped at this little park. It was kind of out of the way, and in it was this little lake with an underground spring. It actually just looked like a big pond, but it was extremely deep. It was a small pond, and there was a huge river gushing out of this little pond. It was so strange. You see, underneath at the bottom of this deep, deep pond was a gushing spring. It was just pouring out gallons and gallons of fresh water. And you could take a little glass-bottom boat across it. So we pulled ourselves out into the middle of it. And down on the bottom, you could see these pretty good-sized fish. And we thought, wow, that's cool. But the reality is, we learned, is those fish aren't just big fish. They are huge trout down in the bottom of this lake. And they're so far down that they just look like a nice fish. But they're huge fish. You know, that's like the gospel of Mark that we're reading today. There's so much more there. It's a deep, deep pool. So as we begin to engage Mark's gospel over the next 6 weeks, we're going to go deep into the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that in these times that we're in, this is really, really important. This is really what we need. We need to hear again the good news of Jesus Christ and the transformational message that it brings. So if you're new to the Gospels, this is good news. You'll be introduced to life in a new light, a whole new way of understanding the kingdom of God. If you're a seasoned Bible reader, it's a chance to allow the Holy Spirit to give new insight into this timely message for the world we live in today. And I believe as we journey through Mark's Gospel together, we're all going to become better equipped to do something I think we all want to do. And that is to bless our world with exactly what it's waiting for. It's time for the good news. So we begin in the Gospel of Mark. If you have a Bible today and you'd like to follow along, great. We'll have some scriptures up on the screen. If you have your phone, you can take out an app. YouVersion's a great one and read along. Or you can listen. The Gospel of Mark begins with this. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Actually, I want you to read that with me, would you? This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So that's the beginning. Now Mark's going to unpack it. And he says, it began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist, and he was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had turned to God to receive forgiveness for their sins. So last week, we experienced a Christian baptism during the confirmation ceremony. So it is one of my favorite experiences in the church, wet sleeves and all. If you're a believer, or if you've become a believer, Jesus commands us to be baptized. It's an outward expression of this inward reality of God's grace at work in our lives and in our hearts. You see, God has given us this gift. He has given us new life through forgiveness of sin by faith in Jesus Christ. And baptism is both a witness of that and an expression then of God's grace. And so we'll be doing more baptisms in November, if that's something you're interested in, it's good news. Actually, the good news of those baptisms are that they're indoors, right? In November, that's good news. So this baptism that John is talking about, however, it's something very different. We have to wrap our minds around this one. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he comes across some believers in the book of Acts, and he sees that they're just missing something. He says, what baptism did you have? And they said, John's baptism. He says, whoa, you need the Christian baptism, Jesus' baptism. So John's baptism is different. John's baptism is a get-ready baptism. Somebody say get-ready. A get-ready baptism. John's baptism says, I'm turning to God and changing my ways to get ready to receive what's coming. See, John's baptism acknowledges that God is about to do something unique in all of history, and it's about to happen in their lifetime. This is John's baptism. And it's important to understand what we're reading is being reported here as a unique historical event. It's the very real experience of Peter the Apostle written down by Mark in the Gospel of Mark. So Peter's eyewitness accounts, this is what he faced. It's incredible. This is the reality, and it's true. It happened. So when we move through the beginning of the Gospel, I want you to pay close attention to one thing. You may not normally think about this, but pay close attention to one thing. The attitude of the people that are hearing it. The attitude of those who are hearing the gospel. The Bible says, you know, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the way, the course of your life. It determines where your life goes. You know, what's going on right here in your heart, that's going to determine what happens in the rest of life. So pay attention to what's going on in the heart of the people who are hearing the gospel, because it's profound. So we want to ask as we read, where is the heart of the people who are listening and hearing? And then ask yourself, where's my heart? Where is my heart as I hear the words of this gospel? So we begin in verse 5. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. You know, Cheryl and I had the opportunity to go to Israel many years ago, and we were in the spot called Yardanet, which is on the Jordan River, and could likely be one of the places where John did baptisms. It could actually be where Jesus was baptized. You know, it's a very real place when John was there, and Jesus came on the scene. This account, it shows that the people are agreeing with John, that they believe that John is God's prophet. They believe that God is speaking through him, and they believe that God is right. So think about this for a moment. How do we come to this conclusion? Well, we do because they do what God says. They believe, right? And then they do what he says, confess your sins and be baptized. They are being prepared for what's coming. They believe God is right. Now, that might sound funny to us if you are at all a studier of the Bible or you've been through a course. You know that God is right, right? God is always right. God is never infallible. God knows all things. Of course, God is right. But we believe that as a theological truth. Something we agree with right here in our head. But if we don't follow it, if we don't do what God says, then we have a problem. We have a problem. And that problem is one of two things. We either know God is right and that we are wrong when we don't follow God's ways. We either know God is right and we are wrong, or we don't believe God is right and we don't follow God's way. You know, both ways are kind of the same outcome. We're not following God. Both ways we're not following God, but they have completely different outcomes. Because only one is open to God's solution. And that's the key. Only one of these ideas is open to God's solution. So we are either one or the other. We believe God, but we have failed to follow God's way. Or we don't believe God and we refuse to follow God's way. So if we're of the first orientation, if we believe God but fail to follow his way, then what Jesus has came to share is really good news for us, because we are open now to God's solution. So if our heart orientation is open to God's solution, then Jesus' message really is good news. Somebody say good news. It's good news. We're ready for some good news. I want to be careful here. This is deep water, all right? The trout are swimming way down there. So as we read in the weeks ahead, we see this distinction between believing God is right and believing God is wrong. So we're going to have to wade into this as we move along. But if you're scratching your head, I want to walk through this. I'm not saying, this is important, Owen, listen up. I'm not saying that God condemns people with different theological ideas. I'm not saying that. Or that I've got it all right and whoever differs from me has it all wrong. I'm not saying that. What I am making a distinction here is about the heart orientation. And that heart position is either believing the good news of Jesus Christ or not believing the good news of Jesus Christ. And remember, we're looking for good news that overcomes all of the news in our lives. The good news that brightens our outlook and that heightens our sense of hope. And it's the good news that uplifts our relationships and points us to God. The good news of Jesus Christ that compels us to believe God. And so let's see how this works out in Scripture. So Mark's description of John, it goes into details, this prophet John, about how he dresses and how he eats. And it all goes to show that John is this real, true prophet, just like the Old Testament talks about. So John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals." He says, "I baptize you with water." This get-ready baptism. "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." He says, "I baptize with water, but Jesus, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So the people of John's time, they're programmed to hear that this really is good news. All this talk about the Holy Spirit, it gets their attention. And here's why. Because up to this point, the Holy Spirit has only been poured out on individual people once in a while at limited times. And in fact, until John's father, Zechariah, spoke through the Holy Spirit, God hadn't presented himself through the Holy Spirit in over 400 years. It was only a promise that the whole people of God are waiting for. But for us, as believers today, you know, we have the Holy Spirit within us, living within us. We have that experience every day. We have this Holy Spirit consciously guiding us and revealing Jesus' teaching to us. The Spirit empowers us to walk with Jesus. And this is the good news that we already experience on a daily basis. John said, "Someone is coming. Someone, that someone is Jesus. And he's coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit." So it's hard to capture for some of us this spirit baptism because we're programmed for a wet baptism, right? So this spirit baptism. In the past few weeks, people have expressed to us that they have experienced God's Holy Spirit as we gather in worship or as we have been together. Why is that? How is that? It's a taste of this good news part of what John is prophesying. It's for our time. And when we have this real kind of Holy Spirit baptism experience and encounter, you know, we really are never the same again. When God presents himself in this very real, tangible way that we experience, it changes us. You know, sometimes it fills us with this powerful experience of joy. Sometimes it comes out in us in this joy that is overflowing in tears. It looks like we're sad, but we're not. Sometimes it's this experience of God's love so deep, so real, that we know God is real, that God is true, that God is right. Sometimes this experience of the Spirit is a warm embrace by another believer who all of a sudden you just know, you just feel in our heart of hearts that God is here in this situation. You know the presence of God. That's the work of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've experienced this before in a very profound way. Some people experience it in a physical sense. Some people, not so much. And how you experience isn't that important. But this understanding, this knowledge that God is present in you is what is important. This is the good news that we already have. And when we experience, we know in our heart, God is right. I hope you all have that kind of profound experience of the Holy Spirit in your lives, in Jesus' name. But the experience is not the point. We don't have to chase it. The point is obedience and empowerment. The point is obedience and empowerment. The obedience is what God calls us to believe and to trust and to follow God. It's this trust in the scriptures. It's this trust in the message. It's this trust in the good news that calls us to walk it out in our daily lives. It's the obedience that is evident in the world when people see the church and they say, oh, wow, God is at work in the midst of these people. It is that obedience that the world notices that God is calling us out to walk with him and to be his people and to proclaim the good news. That's the obedience piece. It's the obedience that when we read the scripture, we have this conviction in our heart that, oh my gosh, God is calling me to something I never knew before. This is a whole new way to live. And the obedience piece is that commitment then to walk that out, to turn, to change, to repent, to become what Scripture is calling you to be. That's the obedience piece. Now, the empowerment piece, the Spirit on us and in us, is what empowers us to actually live that out. It's the empowerment that allows us to change our walk. When we just believe it's something very hard and difficult to do, it's the empowerment of the Spirit that gives us hope and that gives us encouragement and that gives us people alongside of us to help walk that out. It is the empowerment that God has given us to walk and be his people in the world. It's obedience and empowerment. That's what counts. That's what's important. That's what we are called to. And that is the good news, that God has forgiven us, that he has redeemed us, that he has set us on a new course, that he has filled us with his life and his Spirit so that we can obey his call and that we are empowered to walk it out in the world, to be his church. So here's the takeaway. We're looking for some good news. Jesus is nothing but good news. Jesus is nothing but good news for those whose hearts are open to believe. Are you open to God? Are you open? So let's pick up the gospel again. Jesus is baptized by John. It's a baptism of getting ready. Jesus is getting ready to step into the purpose God has called him. And as he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven says this, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." This is where I get the title for this message, God is Right. See, we believe in God as he has revealed himself, God's self, in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You heard the confirmation class talk about this last week. You know, God is the Trinity, we say, three in one, three persons in one. And the Father here, he speaks to the Son. He says, "You are my beloved Son." So we have the image of the Father. And he's identifying the second person of the Trinity, which is the Son, who is Jesus. And then we have the third person of the Trinity coming upon Jesus in the form of a dove, who is the Holy Spirit. He descends upon Jesus. So we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. And when this is really important, this is critical to understand as we start the gospel. Because when Jesus later speaks that things that only God speaks, with the authority that only God has, and does the things that only God can do, he's revealing that God's revelation is right. God is right. And he has sent the good news, who is Jesus. Mark says, this is the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So now we've identified the good news. There's three responses to that. There's three responses to that. So if you haven't taken any notes yet, then here they are. One, two, three. Are you ready? I'm talking to the confirmation kids. I see them studying over here. It's great. So, three ways to experience the good news of God. They're simple. Even a child can get it. Owen, got that? Even a child? Yep. All right. I probably shouldn't do that, you know, calling out little Owen over here, but it's so fun. I think that's, this good news isn't hard to figure out. So every one of us here today, if we were old enough to come up here and listen to Katie's kids' message, then we can live out this good news. We hear it in Mark 1, 14 and 15. Later on, after John was arrested, sad story, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. You know, it starts out with the kingdom of God is near. And I think that is such incredibly good news. You know, we don't have to chase down the kingdom of God. We don't have to travel far to find the kingdom of God. We don't have to find the best possible church to plug into the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is near. In another passage, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. If you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the kingdom of God right here. The kingdom of God is near. Such good news. That means we have access wherever we are. Somebody, why don't you take a moment and turn to each other and say, the kingdom of God is near. And give someone one of these. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Seems kind of strange, but this is the reality. The kingdom of God is near within you. So that's good news. So three ways to experience right now. One is by repenting. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins. Now, this may not be new. It's a critical step, however, to experience the good news. Repentance. You've seen me doing this over and over and over again. It's so important. Repentance is simply turning away from sin and turning back to God. So if sin represents walking this way, you know, this life that is opposing God, opposite of God, not God's way, not obedience, then repenting simply means to turn around, to face God, to walk towards God, to turn to God, and receive the gift and the promise that God has given. Repent and believe the good news, which is number two. We repent and then believe the good news. Believe that God is right. Believe that Jesus is the answer to this new life in the kingdom of heaven. Believe Jesus' teachings, grow in his understanding, trust God's way. Believe the scriptures, which are God's revelation. You know, it seems so easy. Believe, right? Believe that God sent his son Jesus to forgive you, to rescue you. And when we do, all that anxiousness and anxiety in our lives begins to fade, because we know God is right. We know no matter what storms we face, Jesus is in the boat. So we can participate in the good news right now by repenting, turning to God with an open heart, by believing and trusting the good news. And three, it seems so simple. Follow Jesus. Follow. The scripture says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to be fishers of people. Are you looking for some good news today? Follow Jesus. The time promised has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent, believe, and come follow Jesus. Join me, please, in prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you are the good news. Thank you that you have brought the message to us today. Thank you, Father, that you have sent the Son and filled us all with the Holy Spirit by faith in him, that we might walk in your way. Lord, thank you that you call us to follow you. And Lord, I pray for each one here today. that we would have a new sense of the infilling of your Spirit, that you would pour out your grace and love into our lives, that we would truly know the good news, that it would begin to bubble up in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, no matter what we face, no matter what's happening in the world, that we would be focused on you and the coming kingdom which is within us. Lord, help us to be your people in transformational ways and to experience the good news, the life full of joy and peace. And as we do, Lord, we trust that you will call us out as your people, that you will give us a clear way forward as we walk with you, that we truly are your people, the church in the world. And if there's anyone today listening online or here that does not know Jesus as the good news today, if you feel this sense that God is calling you to trust and put your faith in him, it's the first step in following. It's to simply say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross that I might be forgiven of all my wrongs and made right with you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'd like to talk to any of us as pastor, staff, or anyone out here, go ahead and share what God is doing in your life. This journey of walking as disciples and living out the good news is not something we do on our own. It takes the whole church. It takes each one of us walking together. Whether you're small or tall, big or little, you've been around for a long time or you're just coming, we need one another and we are there for one another. It is the good news that God calls us together to be the church in the world. So let us be